Hey everybody, welcome back for another Dynasty Team Review here for the 2024 season. I am Eric Vanek, and you can find me on Twitter at EricVanekNFL. And as always, joined by Koopa. And today we are going to look at the Washington Commanders. So new head coach Dan Quinn, and their new offensive coordinator is Cliff Kingsbury. Some key players who left, they did trade Sam Howell to the Seahawks. Jacoby Brissett moved on, Antonio Gibson, Curtis Samuel, Logan Thomas, and Sadiq Charles all moved on this offseason from them. Some targets and vacated air yards, 274 targets, 1,538 air yards are going to be missing from this team. Quarterbacks, though, Koopa, go ahead, start us off with the quarterbacks for the Commanders.
Yeah, so we've got Jaden Daniels, who was their number two overall pick for them. So he's going to be their starting quarterback of the future and probably in week one. I don't necessarily see that they've got the backup of Marcus Mariota, even though he is probably a good backup quarterback. I don't necessarily see him starting week one over Jaden Daniels. I think they hit Jaden Daniels with the ground running. And then they've got Jeff Driskel and Sam Hartman as their backups behind them. Sam Hartman being a UDFA out of Notre Dame, who I thought he did all right at Notre Dame. And so I wasn't surprised to see him become a UDFA that got signed in the NFL. But going up to see if he can take a quarterback three spot, or more realistically, even be worth rostering on this team as opposed to potentially wavering him and letting him fall to the practice squad. I don't know that he can make that. And Jeff Driskel has been in that same fringe area for years for a multitude of different teams. So I realistically only see Jaden Daniels and Marcus Mariota as being the quarterbacks that end up hitting for this team. And Marcus Mariota, obviously any QB on a two deep sort of strategy, but Jaden Daniels is currently ranked in fantasy as quarterback 16. And I think he has a ceiling of being much higher than that. I think that quarterback 16 is more of hedging the bet as to whether he fully in year one is able to transition from a college quarterback to an NFL quarterback, whether he ends up getting tripped up by some of these NFL defenses, things like that. But if he is able to make a smooth transition, he is a rushing quarterback. His ceiling is huge. He could, if there's any rookie quarterback this year that I would say has a shot at being like a top six quarterback, it would be Jaden Daniels. Just the question is, can he make that transition smoothly? Can he get there? I think it's much more likely that you see some spike games and you see a lot of games that are not as good. So you might see him spike up and be quarterback two on a week, and the next week he's maybe like quarterback 17 or 18, like things like that, where he's just kind of inconsistent, just because that's usually what you end up getting out of rookie quarterbacks. Not everybody is CJ Stroud and they just come in and they just play at an elite level from year one. But the nice thing is he is in a good situation in terms of the supporting cast of who he has to throw to. So he does have the opportunity in my mind to be able to hit that ceiling a little bit more than a lot of other rookie quarterbacks have around the league.
Yeah, I think, like you said, Jaden Daniels literally has top six upside for sure. Is he probably going to hit that? Probably not, but I would assume like 8 to 10 is probably where he's going to be, especially with his rushing ability. Like if the passing doesn't hit right away, like he could do what Justin Fields did for us. Like he could have these 100-yard rushing games, touchdown or two. The passing might not be there, but I think he's a better passer. He has some weapons around him. He's going to have Sanat. He's going to have McLaurin and Dotson, who we'll get into here in a little bit. You know, Kingsbury has run an NFL offense. It might not be the greatest NFL offense, but he has experience. So, yeah, I think Jaden Daniels is going to be just fine. So I like him. If he gets hurt, though, man, Mariota, woof. Sam Hartman, who you mentioned, I could see him making it as the third quarterback, but I think they probably only end up keeping two quarterbacks here in Jaden and Mariota. Some quick highlights there on Jaden Daniels before we move on. Overall, Daniels is a smooth point guard from the pocket when his eyes stay on schedule, and his dazzling run skills make him a problem for defenses. This isn't an apples-to-apples comparison, but NFL scouts say he forces opponents to defend him like Lamar Jackson. 67% of his completions last year, and 22 touchdowns to zero interceptions on throws of 20 plus yards in 2023, which is absolutely ridiculous. And that's why this guy won the Heisman Trophy. 94.7 was his PFF grade last year. He had 236 completions on 332 attempts, 3,811 yards, 40 touchdowns, four interceptions. 71.1 was his completion percentage. 89.4 passing grade in the intermediate zones, 99.2 on his deep ball grade, which is absolutely absurd. 63 was his grade when he was pressured, 10.5 was his A dot on his throws as well. So absolutely incredible year from Jaden Daniels. I don't know if his deep ball is like going to be this good in the NFL. Like, that's like almost impossible. So he is probably going to come down a little bit there, but he's still a really good player. So I like him a lot. Running backs, Brian Robinson Jr. is the starter right now. His PFF grade last year was 75.3, 23rd of 59. He was a lot better than people remember him as. Like, he had 50 something catches last year, and he was doing pretty good in the receiving game last year for Washington. I remember he had a couple receiving touchdowns last year that looked really good. So Brian Robinson, not just a zero in the receiving game. Austin Eckler, he was brought in. I think he's going to play a lot of the receiving game, though, and kind of stick Robinson more to rushing. But Eckler is here. 60.2 is his PFF grade last year, which was 55th among 59 running backs. So very, very piss poor season from Austin Eckler last year. I think he rebounds a little bit. Not saying he's going to get back to top five fantasy finisher at the position or anything like that, but I think he's at least a weekly RB2 to flex play, I think, for Austin Eckler, especially with his receiving skills. Chris Rodriguez Jr., their sixth round pick from last year, is still there as the RB3. Jeremy McNichols, who's bounced around from about 17 different teams. Michael Wiley, a UDFA from Arizona that I like a little bit, is there as well. And Austin Jones, a UDFA from USC. They kept three running backs on their 53 last year. I think it's going to be the same again. Brian Robinson Jr., Austin Eckler, and Chris Rodriguez, I think, are going to be the three. What do you got on the running backs, Kuba?
Yeah, Brian Robinson, I think, is still the top running back that you want to own, unless you have a larger PPR for running backs, then maybe Austin Eckler would be the one that you want. But I don't think many leagues do that. If anything, leagues usually will reduce the PPR for running backs and up it for wide receivers and then more for tight ends if they're doing a tiered PPR structure. Austin Eckler, like, I do agree. I see a rebound coming from where he was in Los Angeles, but he's not ever going to be back to what you were expecting him to be in Los Angeles of that for, like, year after year being top five. I mean, right now Austin Eckler is ranked as running back 34. I think that's probably fair. I think that he is probably a bit more of a flex running back as opposed to a starting running back, and that you want in your running back one or running back two spots. And so Brian Robinson, he is slightly better at running back 28. I think a lot of it also has to do with how does this offense look with Jaden Daniels. We know that rushing quarterbacks tend to cause problems for a lot of the other fantasy players around them, because they end up taking a lot more of the work. But if you go off of what Lamar Jackson has done with what the Indianapolis Colts have done with Anthony Richardson, like, the running backs still get used a lot. And so it might end up being that Brian Robinson does have a little bit of a better year than you were expecting, especially if, like, Austin Eckler is, like, only out there on passing downs. And if Jaden Daniels doesn't dump it off to the running back, that could honestly be a bit of a disappointing year for Eckler. So Eckler, I feel like, has a lot more volatility in terms of what he could or could not be. And Brian Robinson, I feel, is going to be a little bit more reliable, but he's not ever going to be the guy. He's not going to have the ceiling that you would potentially see out of some other running backs that have a stronger hold over their backfield.
All right, now looking at the wide receivers here for Washington. So Terry McLaurin is still the man. PFF grade last year of 75.1, 35 of 128. Jahan Dotson had a rough year, 57.7, 98 of 128. Luke McCaffrey, a third round pick that they drafted from Rice. Dyami Brown, Dax Milne, Olamide Zaccheaus, Mitchell Tinsley, Damir Bird, who's a Cliff Kingsbury favorite. Jamison Crowder, Davian Davis, Bryce Tremaine, Kazmir Allen, and Marcus Roseme Jack Saint, a UDFA out of Georgia that they brought in this year. So they kept seven on their initial 53 last year. I don't know if they're going to be keeping that many. I could see six, and that would probably be McLaurin, Dotson, McCaffrey, or Locks. Dyami Brown probably stays. And Dax Milne has been there for a couple of years. He probably earns a spot. And they signed Zaccheaus, so I would assume that it's probably going to be their sixth. If they kept a seventh, I would guess either Crowder or Bird. Crowder for his special teams abilities. Bird can probably do some special team stuff as well. But it'd be pretty interesting. I really like Terry McLaurin this year. You have him as wide receiver 34. I think if Jaden Daniels is as good as we think he's going to be, I think McLaurin's probably closer to that wide receiver 24 to 25 range. Like he's teetering on being a wide receiver two, but probably like a top end wide receiver three for me this year. I think McLaurin, I mean, they really don't have anybody else. They got a rookie tight end that they're going to be working in. Dotson, like I just mentioned, has been up and down. Like I think Jaden Daniels should be locking on to Terry McLaurin here and having a big year for him. And that's another reason why I think Austin Eckler could have a pretty good year too. Just there's not a lot of receiving options here at the wide receiver spot, so I think Eckler is going to be used quite a bit. Go ahead with your thoughts here on the wide receivers.
See, it's funny that you're talking about there's not a lot of good wide receiver options. Like in my mind, that Jahan Dotson's last year was really, really bad, but if you look back to his rookie year, it was much better. So I kind of view this wide receiver room as sneakily being a really good option. In that you have Terry McLaurin and Jahan Dotson, Luke McCaffrey coming in as a third round pick. And so I really like the options that Jaden Daniels has to throw to. The real question is whether it targets get funneled to Terry McLaurin or whether they end up getting spread out among the wide receivers here. What we have seen in the past from rushing quarterbacks is they tend to get funneled to one target, and I think that target probably should be Terry McLaurin. I think he is the best wide receiver, which ends up hurting the potential of Jahan Dotson, of Luke McCaffrey, of any of the other wide receivers that could potentially be trying to have an impact on this team. But I 100% agree. Terry McLaurin, Jahan Dotson, Luke McCaffrey is who I the top three. Dyami Brown has been a solid like wide receiver 4 or 5 for them for multiple years. I expect to see that continue. And then whoever else makes it, I don't think that they necessarily keep seven like they did last year, unless some of these guys really show something on like special teams or whatever. But Jamison Crowder, I could also see like sneaking in as an option to like make as that fifth wide receiver because he does have some punt return experience that I think that they sorely need. They don't really have anybody else that is able to do that for him, so he might be able to, if they're trying to decide between, say, a Jamison Crowder and a Damir Bird, they might just lean towards A, the veteran, and B, the guy that can give them some punt returns.
Some quick highlights here on Luke McCaffrey. Overall, McCaffrey doesn't always uncover as easily as his testing numbers might suggest, but he is a smart and controlled in his route movements with the tough-minded ball skills to be a steady possession target. His ability to carve out a role on special teams could be the key to him earning a roster spot as a rookie. 80.1 was his PFF grade, 71 catches, 120 targets, 992 yards, 13 touchdowns with 14 yards per catch, 498 pass snaps, 356 in the slot, 139 out wide. His man coverage grade was 71.1. Three drops, six was his yak, 10.7 ADOT, 10 deep catches, 312 yards, 43 catches from the slot for 627 yards. The quarterback play was not very good at Rice, so he put up these kind of numbers with a very shitty quarterback at Rice is pretty outstanding. So I am excited to see what McCaffrey can do. Is he a lineup target? Probably not, but a best ball guy, definitely. Tight end. So Ben Sinnott, who they drafted in round two, he is the starter right now. Zach Ertz is there. I guess you could probably put Ertz as a starter since he knows the system. But Ben Sinnott is the guy you want to own. John Bates is still there. Cole Turner, Armani Rogers coming off of a major injury from last offseason, and Colson Yankoff, a 2024 UDFA out of UCLA. They kept four on their initial 53 man roster last year. It'll be interesting to see with this regime. I could see three, I could see four. If they want to keep Sinnott, Ertz, Bates, and Turner, I think those are going to be the main four options there. But Sinnott and Ertz are probably locks. Real quick on Sinnott. Overall, Sinnott offers some blocking value, but his controlled athleticism and reliable pass-catching traits project him as a versatile H-back who can be flexed across the formation. All 32 NFL teams will appreciate his football IQ and pro-ready toughness, although he won't be an ideal fit for every scheme. But he is going to play tight end here. I haven't really heard too much of the H-back talk for Washington. 82 PFF grade last year, 48 catches on 73 targets, 669 yards, 6 touchdowns, 13.9 was his yards per catch, which is great for a tight end. 76.1 was his run block grade, so he's not a zero in the run blocking. 81 receiving grade, 2 drops, 6.8 was his yak, really good for tight end, 10.1 ADOT, and 5 for 131 on deep balls. Go ahead with the tight ends, Koopa.
Yeah, I think what you're seeing here is potentially a year accelerated timeline for what you saw out of Trey McBride. So you have Zach Ertz there. I expect Zach Ertz is going to kind of hamper Ben Sinnott at the beginning of the season. If Zach Ertz ends up getting hurt or he just isn't playing as well, Ben Sinnott is probably going to take over as the starting tight end. And I think that he can be decent. I don't think he's going to be Trey McBride level of good. Trey McBride's in a totally different tier to me than Ben Sinnott is in terms of potential for fantasy. But I think Ben Sinnott can be a solid tight end, probably high-end tight end too. So, like, if you've got a multi-tight end league or even best ball, like, he's the kind of guy that I would be interested in rostering, and especially for the long term. John Bates and Cole Turner, both of those guys have been around on this team for a while, but it is a new regime and also new ownership that has, so like everything has changed over. So I don't see them as locks to make the team anymore, but I would expect that one of those two guys, at least if not both, ends up making the team, just because I don't see that Armani Rogers or Colson Yankoff makes it over either of them.
Yeah. So the offensive line last year was 24th. They gave up a ton of sacks. If you remember, Sam Howell took like the most sacks in the league last year. So they needed some upgrades here on the offensive line. And they made a couple, but overall, the offensive line could hurt Jaden Daniels a little bit here. But let's take a look. So their left tackle is going to be Cornelius Lucas. Charles Leno Jr., I believe, is still a free agent, so they could bring him back. There's also a couple other left tackles that are free agents still out there as well, so they could still upgrade here. But Brandon Coleman, who they brought in the third round, he could also be a potential left tackle for them. So the highlights on him, overall, Coleman needs to improve his technical consistency, but his ease of movement, spatial awareness, and length are the building blocks that offensive line coaches covet. He has traits to stay outside at tackle while also offering position flexibility at guard. So it'd be interesting to see how that battle plays out in camp. Left guard is Nick Allegretti, a free agent signing from Kansas City, and his backup is Chris Paul. Center Tyler Bates, who Dan Quinn brought over from Dallas. His PFF grade last year was 69.2, 14th of 36th among centers, so definitely an upgrade there. The backup is Ricky Stromberg, a 2023 third round pick. Right guard is Sam Cosmi, PFF grade last year of 80.6, which is fourth among 79 qualified guards, so very elite guard. Backup is Michael Dieter. And Andrew Wiley, right tackle, he was a 69.2 PFF grade, 33rd of 81 last year as well, playing next to Cosmi. So pretty good right side of the line. That left side of the line, though, is going to need some help. So we'll see what happens there. The backup at right tackle is Trent Scott, a free agent signing from Pittsburgh. Kick returners, punt returners, go ahead with those, Koopa.
Yeah, the kick returners. Honestly, the problem with this team, if you're looking for their kick returner, is it is wide open. So our lads list Chris Rodriguez Jr. But when I did research, I found that Chris Rodriguez Jr., the only time he's kick returned since college was he kick returned literally two kicks during his redshirt freshman year. And so the rest of his time in college and since he's been in the NFL, he never kick returned. That does not give me confidence that he's going to be the kick returner. And it was one of those spots where I was like, hey, look for them to get somebody in the draft that has kick return experience, and they didn't get a single one on my list. So this is one of those training camp battles that you have to watch and just see who ends up being back there when they're practicing it in practice and things like that. It punt returns, they do have Jamison Crowder and Jahan Dotson. The question is really to me whether they put Jahan Dotson back there on punt returns. They did not do that last year, I don't think, and it's one of those things where oftentimes teams don't want to put like their wide receiver two as their punt returner. They want to put either one of their later wide receivers, a cornerback, somebody like that, back there. And so I don't even know that who the punt returner is going to be because I'm not confident Jamison Crowder is a lock to make the team. So really all the special teams here is something that could totally change for Washington. And so it's one of those training camp battles that you have to watch.
And then our final fantasy thoughts here on Washington. I mean, I think we both kind of expect Jaden Daniels to be a top 12 quarterback for you this year, especially with that rushing ability. Hopefully, that receiving or the passing game for him. I mean, I'm not expecting him to have 4,000 yards, but he has a chance to. Like the receivers aren't terrible, the tight ends aren't terrible. He's got Eckler and Brian Robinson who can do some stuff, so he has weapons around him. I think a lot of it's going to come down to the offensive line. Can they be better than they were last year? Better coaching there, hopefully. So yeah, I am excited to see what Jaden Daniels can do this year. Running backs, Robinson and Eckler, I think are going to be RB2 to flex plays for you every week. Wide receivers, I really expect McLaurin to have a good year. I think, like we talked about, he's kind of going to get funneled the targets. Jahan Dotson, hopefully he improves in his third year. Otherwise, he's going to be teetering towards bust territory. I mean, last year was pretty bad, but I mean, the offensive line was bad. Sam Howell was okay at times, didn't really throw to him that much. And then tight ends, I'm really excited about Ben Sinnott. I like him a lot. Is he gonna be trade McBride right away? Probably not, but I expect him to at least have a decent first season. I'm not expecting like 70, 80 catches or anything, but if he can get you 40, 50 catches, I think that's gonna be a good rookie year for him. How about you and your thoughts on the Commanders?
Yeah, I think that Jaden Daniels, He has been my rookie number one overall. It's like I'm taking him with the 101. If that's like the one pick that I have in all my leagues, the only reason that I've actually not taken him recently a little bit at the 101 is just because I've noticed in a lot more places where I can get him at the 103 rather than the 101, and I, as a result of not taking Caleb Williams, I have like no Caleb Williams shares. But Jaden Daniels, I think long term, in terms of like fantasy ceiling, he's a guy that I'm 100% in on, that he could be the kind of person to vault himself into the Mahomes, Hurts, Allen tier and be able to stay there because of that rushing floor that he has. And then it's just Brian Robinson, Austin Eckler, like those guys are decent. And Terry McLaurin, I think, is a really solid wide receiver. Jahan Dotson, somebody that I think can be solid as well. And then Ben Sinnott, I think, can be a solid tight end. So, like, there's a lot of solid players here, just not necessarily anybody that is the absolute top tier that you might be looking for as league winners. So, that's just something to know about the Commanders team. I don't think they're going to produce a league winner for you. Except for if Jaden Daniels comes out and he plays at CJ Stroud level, he has the ability to, because of his rushing, to become a league winner as a result. But everyone else, I think, is just a solid player. You can use him to fill in, like running back two, wide receiver three, flex spots, all that sort of thing. Like, it's not bad to be a little bit invested into the Washington Commanders this year.
All right, so that is going to be it for the NFC East this week, guys. We will be back next week with the NFC North. So, Koopa, appreciate you doing this again with me, man. It's been fun.